I want experience. I have to go there and see something that I have never seen, or get involved with something that I have never seen. That's why we did hundreds of kilometers. Everything is good until the time that comes to say, improve it. You have a new hotel, it's fantastic. After 20 years, it's not a new hotel.
I'm Farah Shamas. Welcome to Hotel Talk. We hope you enjoy listening to this friendly conversation between people connected by real life in hotels.
So I definitely could not have had Hotel Talk podcast, the first, I think, safe to say, hospitality-inspired podcast in the whole of Cyprus without having my guest today, who is Mr. Tony Andonio, the chairman of the Limassol Tourism Board. Tony, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for the invitation.
Ages that we've been saying about having you on the podcast, and we finally found the time and you're here. So I want to start off by asking you a little bit about you. So before we get into tourism and Limassol and how great it is and why people should come here, maybe you can introduce yourself to the listeners, tell everyone a little bit about you, and how you became the chairman of the Limassol Tourism Board and why Limassol is important to you.
Limassol is important to me, very important, because it is a town that we lived all our lives, and because it is a different town than all the other towns. We are famous about our hospitality, about our humor, okay, about the facing of life, and Limassolians are very, very, very different people. Now, Limassol...
And I say energy as well, I interrupt, but also Limassolians have a lot of energy, don't they?
Absolutely, absolutely. Energetic, Limassol energetic. We had a slogan before.
Yes, years ago, wasn't it?
Years ago, yes.
Was it Peter?
But now we have a good acceptance from locals, people that are working here, and of course tourists. Okay, but for me, it's a continuation of many other places that I have served, Limassol. And I used to be the chairman of the Limassol Chamber of Commerce. Then I was a vice chairman of the Cyprus Chamber of Commerce. So I was quite involved in the business world, because when I started 40 years ago, I have registered a company of IT, and I was the only one who developed software and selling computers and things like that. It was an age that it was very non-competitive, but very promising. So we started with that, and then I was appointed by all four previous presidents of Cyprus in certain semi-government organizations. With the last one, I was the chairman of the Cyprus Airways, before somebody had the idea of closing, the bad idea of closing it down. So, of course, we have been waiting for many decades now the state of Limassol as it is today. And in the chamber, because there was not many organizations there or associations, it was only the chamber, and it used to be commerce and industry only. Then we have introduced services, we have introduced tourism, and we had all the areas that not only old business people can be as members, but also the new entrepreneurs. Now, of course, it's a new thing, and they say this is a new entrepreneur, but at that time, there was not many. It was dedicated to the old school. So this is what I have been appointed for the last 14 years as a chairman of Limassol Tourism, because by the Limassol Chamber. This is an organization that is not a profitable organization. And it, of course, there are a lot of ex officio places, like the chairman has to be appointed by the chamber. The Limassol mayor is by rule the vice president. We have another two mayors. Now we will have all of them, because they have been reduced. We have the Pasixe, Stek, and all the association of the tourists, ACTA, and of course we have the president of the communities, because we believe the cooperation between the business people and the communities and the towns is very, very important.
To bring it all together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this is how it was evolved. And now I'm very, very happy because I don't have to go to Nicosia to many posts. I was fed up, so it was a stay home because there are so many things to do. And of course, I'm a man of challenges and doing things. We did. That's why, of course, in the next questions, you can ask me what we have done or what we have achieved.
I have that. I have that.
But I haven't seen it. I haven't seen
you. You haven't seen the questions, but I do have that on my list. However, I want to go back because I think it's just fascinating to everyone and definitely to our listeners who maybe heard and didn't experience old Limassol, a Limassol that you grew up in that was in many ways completely different from what we see now. But in other ways, the core values have hopefully stayed the same.
Absolutely.
So maybe you could tell us just a little bit, not too much because we've got so many questions, but a bit about that, a little bit of an insight into how you saw your hometown.
First of all, Limassol used to be a very small town of what it is today.
Mm.
And of course, there were houses built in with stones or traditional things that maintain a very nice view. And of course, there was no problem of moving from one place to the other. I remember that we used to walk to the school, okay, although it was a couple of kilometers when we were at the primary school. I remember that I bought one of the first bicycles in Limassol with money that I have saved, because at that time, remember, everybody Monday morning has to take a coin and do it and position it to the with the teacher and keep all this procedure to let children know about saving. So I saved around £15 at that time, and I bought a bicycle with £17. So I had, and then we used to move with the bicycles. Mm. And it was nice because we were not allowed to go in clubs, discotheques and things like that. We were not allowed to go to any cinema or watch any film that we like. It was always outside the school, a big sign saying that this Sunday between 3 and 5, okay, this is the film that you may watch.
Oh, wow.
Okay, this was how it was very nice. And we used to enjoy nature. Because all our excursions from the school, we used to go to Dasudi. Dasudi was outside Limassol with a bus, and we used to stay there, and then we have to eat something next to the bushes and things like that. It was very nice. It was easy, very good life. Now, and of course, we were waiting until Saturday to go and grab a Wimpy. At that time, it was introduced, the Wimpy, and a hamburger. That's all. That was all the money that we could get. Yeah. It was different, yes.
Amazing.
And it was better, better. Now,
life's changed. But tell us, how has it changed for the better?
The change for the better because the kids can grow. Okay, growing kids or the future citizens of Cyprus is either very bad or very good, because they have the chance and the tools to go to schools that they can learn things, but they have the chance most of the times because mainly, and that doesn't apply to you, because of their moms, because they have to look after them and they can do anything they like. And of course, money plays quite a big role, mm-hmm. because now whenever they want to buy, they want the television, they buy the biggest one. They want the computer, they buy the biggest one. It's unbelievable how spending has got in the life of the youngsters.
Mm.
And then it's something that we have to, of course, because of the family and, of course, the community, because everybody is doing that. So we have to be very, very careful how we grow the new generation, not only the kids, but also, and now we have a lot of universities.
Absolutely.
Universities are not the best thing that can happen in Cyprus, because they give the opportunity to have students with a lower capacity. Because every time when I was a director in the TEPAC, in the Technical University, the first time that it was approved by the government, we used to have 2,000 students. 2,000. And then what it was the practice, it was to reduce the grade of entrance in order to complete all of the 2,000 places.
Oh, to fill up the places. Yeah.
So that means that they will degrading the standard of the university. Mm. And of course, with the other private university that everybody goes and things like that, standards are usually high standard to the expensive universities, because they have, of course, your contribution with the government. But we push the youngsters to study and get a degree. A degree with an electrician is much better than many other things. A degree with English literature, everybody knows, it's not so necessary. So we have to give priority to the people what they should study and get knowledge in order to serve the society.
Mm.
And this is the bad thing.
I would absolutely disagree with that. But that's what I love about this podcast, that people can have different opinions. I think in the Mediterranean and in the Middle East, I think the general attitude towards education traditionally was one of vocation, which is why in this part of the world we have so many lawyers and accountants and doctors, because everybody is very protective to their children and they want their children to study something that they can really utilize.
You said the magic word, utilize.
Utilize. However, yes. I think that the main thing with education that I interpret education with, and my grandfather was very pro-education, and I think is a more European and old school in Europe, is that any form of education is a way of expanding your mind. It's the one thing that somebody can't take away from you.
Yes.
If you study something you enjoy, you're going to do better at it. And most education, most of what we learn, isn't always applied to life. I mean, you can become a mathematician
mathematician is something
you could, even an accountant, you don't apply it all every day. But what you do learn is to acquire knowledge,
to use your brain. That's what I'm saying, yes.
So for me, if you do English literature or anything, you're learning how to acquire knowledge.
I agree with you. I was mainly pointing out the easy way. Incapable people to follow a course.
And I think you also touched on an important point, that not everybody is made or has to get a degree, a university degree. If somebody gets a diploma to be a plumber,
that's what I said,
that's exactly what you said. That is so, or an electrician, that is so, so valuable and so important to society, and it shouldn't be degraded or overlooked. Yes. So on that, I couldn't
agree.
It's
not shame
more.
to be a doctor or
Absolutely.
A lawyer or an accountant.
Yeah,
this is what I was wanted to say.
Mm-hmm. I agree. We'll say start with that, because you mentioned that. What are you most proudest of your achievements so far, being the chairman of the Limassol Tourism Board? What are the, if you look back on everything that has been accomplished, what are the things that you feel most prideful?
Usually, as dealing with the chamber at the beginning, and then the Limassol Tourist Board and many other associations that they serve the economy, we always say that we have to make Limassol proud and unique.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to people that say, oh, Limassol, oh, what a nice town, that is the trophy. So this is the most important thing, to make Limassol the diamond of Cyprus.
Mm.
And of course it is, in many ways. Culture, businesses is the business center now, and many other things. In order to do that...
And gastronomy... I was discussing that with Nick Aristu, who was also on this podcast from Four Seasons. We have absolutely amazing restaurants in Limassol, like fantastic, yes, out of this world.
Not many people can afford it.
True, but we also have amazing tavernas. We also have amazing village restaurants. We have, I think, something going, for everyone.
Yes, they started in the villages and the countryside. Mm. It's a different section of Limassol, mm-hmm. which we have done a lot of things to promote it, and now it's going very well.
Mm.
So what the aim is, the most important thing is to have the feeling, is to have the acceptance of the others, especially competitors, and of course the tourists, because the tourists have to be satisfied in order to come here and feel at home.
Mm-hmm.
So we put an aim 30 years ago to do 13 infrastructure projects in order to have Limassol to an upper level.
Okay, why 13?
At that time it was 13.
It was just probably
12, I don't remember correctly, but what we have said, we have this aim.
Mm.
That is what we have to do. And we did most of them, nearly all of them.
And some of them, give us some examples.
I will tell you. That's why when you say what we are proud to do, first of all, the first thing that I'm very proud, because I was the chairman of Limassol Chamber, it was the marina. Okay, nobody believed in marina. We had a lot of discussions about placing the marina in the right side, either in front of at the front of the town or to the very dirty and undeveloped area where we position it. And then it was our initiative to say, no, we go there because the municipal authorities wouldn't take the decision. So we said, we go there. And then we involve Cypriot developers.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we had the Marina of Sir Raphael, but it wasn't a project that to the extent that we wanted. And of course, now we have two marinas and they're all full.
Yeah.
So we need more. Marina, it was the thing that we did. And then we said, okay, now because we did all the lobbying, we have a new project, a new idea of the project. The chamber should be shareholder of the marina. And we used to have 10% of the marina.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. So, and of course that one, took a lot of our work towards building the place that we have right now. I don't know if you have visited our offices, the chamber, down to very, very undeveloped, and now very, very demanding area, which was the West Limassol. So we built the building with the shares that we sold after it was completed, the project, because the role of the chamber and the Limassol Tourist Board is not to compete with business people. So we started, we did it, and then we sold our shares to other shareholders, and we make a lot of money to finish all what we had owned to the banks.
Okay.
So that was two projects, the marina, and the other thing that we were involved was the casino. Remember, when we did the casino resort, because our competitor, and I say that with many, many, many incidents, is Nicosia. The Nicosia people would like to have everything to them, okay? So they don't like any other area. If they have a chance to block it, they will block it. And they were wanted to do the casino up to Kornos, which is next to Nicosia. With the proper lobbying and everything, we managed to convince the Americans at that time, because before they sold their portion to the Chinese company, it was the Americans, which used to have a lot of casinos there. And we used to bring them here, talk to them, and they were very, very, very friendly or whatever. We managed to win the contract, and now we have a very big project there, which is the best or the only one resort in Europe, casino resort. The passenger vessel, okay, it was an idea that we had many, many, many years ago. We used to have some stores which were nobody could get in. And they used to cross the the waste to the ship with the heavy machinery moving around or whatever, it was quite unacceptable. We had a lot of fights with Larnaca because Larnaca wanted to be the vessels, not the commercial port, but the tourist port. Mm. And they managed to get and built a passenger room, £1 million at that time. But they never used it because nobody would go to Larnaca. Mm. So that was a very good thing. And now what we have, if it wasn't this war with Israel, we could have 500,000 tourists coming to, and all the big vessels are coming to Limassol. So this is the kind of thing that we would like to see. And everything, of course, depends on the... And of course, if we start with our hotels, I will not ask how much you invest in the hotels because we are one of the pioneers in Cyprus. But the amount of euros that our hoteliers spend, and every now and then they have to do renovations, is tremendous.
Tremendous, yeah.
So this is, of course, something that complements the mm-hmm. product of Limassol mm-hmm. and many, many other things. We did a lot of other things, like the European programs that we have acquired, okay, which I will... Mm-hmm. Can sort of, I'm sure that you have a question on that.
Well, I think I want to move on to, I mean, just recently I was at an event organized by yourselves, unveiling a lovely statue called the Seashell, which Mr. Alexander, who lives in Paphos, had donated to Limassol. And I know that you've done quite a lot in this regard. We've sunk, isn't it, two ships just off the coast of Limassol.
That was one European broad, $500,000. Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can talk about that and the underwater world that is in Limassol.
The underwater world, yeah. Which is sustainable.
Yeah.
It attracts sustainable tourists.
Yeah, and scuba diving, doesn't it? Yeah.
You do?
No, I don't. But I mean, I know that it attracts that.
Okay, it's something that is, it attracts. Now the products, and definitely you know from your tourists, all the tourists that come to Cyprus or go to the Mediterranean, which is a package of countries or whatever, they would, the first thing that they say what they want to face, besides, of course, they always say, of course, the sun. You cannot forget the sun or ignore it. But they say, I want to have experience. I want experience. Mm-hmm. I have to go there and see something that I have never seen or get involved with something that I have never seen. That's why we did hundreds of kilometers of cycling routes all over the district of Limassol. We did hiking, a lot of hiking, which they want to, and of mm-hmm. course, especially the northern tourists like Germans, Scandinavians, they would like to walk, which is something that's amazing. Recently, we did a path here in Parekleisha, next to your hotel.
Okay.
It goes around 4 or 5 miles. Oh, it's beautiful. You go up to Praskion and then you walk down. Because
oh, no, I've done that one. Yeah, yeah, I've done that. Yeah.
Very nice. We did only 6 months ago.
It's really nice. Yeah.
Signs, wooden benches to rest, mm-hmm. and you see all the environment that you can see. And sometimes you see the life of Cyprus, vegetarian, and animals, and see a lot of things, except the snakes.
We don't want to see those.
No.
And where can people find out about all of these things? On your website?
On our website, mm-hmm. and we have a lot of things in the website that you can go and you can get the maps, you can get the directions, you can everything. Mm-hmm. Because we spend a lot of money on applications, which is very... quite a good thing. Now, the diving is something that attracts many, many tourists. And of course, we are very, very concerned about the disabled. It's very important. And one of our programs that has, we spent $3 million in 3 years, and we do the transportation, we do the for the disabled to get into the sea. We have 3-4 walks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they pushing with the thing. We did this diving project that has to do a lot of work with the disabled as well.
Mm. So, but tell us about the diving project. So there's two ships now underwater.
There are two ships, yes.
And then an artist made two huge masks, you were telling me.
Yeah, just to bond, you know.
Yeah, I mean, masks that sum up Limassol and our carnival. And you sunk those as well. And obviously that's stimulating underwater life.
Yes, they preserve life.
Mm.
So you see, they go somewhere and they build their nests and all these things. And it's very important. And in this respect, we have managed to purchase, how do you say, tholos, like the churches, you know, the
arch.
It's an arch, yes, big arch that accommodate around 35 or 40 people watching in 360 degrees. So we had a film with that, and it's nice to see it when we set it up. And then you lie down, then you can see all the sea under the...
Ah, so it's like a dome where you go in and then you can get, you get immersed in the water.
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting.
Which is a very thing that we're trying to see where to position it in order for many other applications. To watch out. We spend a lot of money in the 360 degrees in the seaside, the road in Limassol, and the hotels. Probably your hotel is in the 360 degrees because with drones, we picture everybody, and then this is the kind of thing that we want. What we would
and this
like
is in the Dasudi area, isn't it?
The
underwater ships and...
Yes,
masks,
opposite the nautical of Famagusta. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it is something that we did. But we did a lot let me see what else is nice. Now, currently, we have last December only, because we have a very strong team in running after European money, which is the best thing that you can spend. We have a project now, Herit Adapt. It's only 300,000 euros that will enhance sustainable tourism. The project is aiming mainly to create digital network of destinations that will exchange good practice. So we have around, when we have partners in Europe and in Greece, then all these people, and yesterday we had the first kick-off meeting, they say about their experiences. So all the other parties can either copy or get ideas from their projects or whatever in the area of sustainable tourism.
Well, let's talk a bit about sustainable tourism. So what is the Limassol Tourism Board doing in that regard to make Limassol more sustainable? I mean...
First of all, we have through European programs and, of course, through our money, getting from the contribution of the Deputy Ministry of Tourism. It's one source. The other source, our big source, is European programs. The other source is our own money.
Yes, but what are you doing with that money?
Yes. We do every we have done a lot in mobility, a lot. Bicycles, as I mentioned before, manual and electrical. We did a lot of electric cars many years ago. We have an exhibition every day of mobility event that we do at the...
So, with just to break it down. So with bicycles, we know we've got amazing pathways for the bicycles
you
to
can,
go.
Yes.
So you can explore all of Limassol with bikes. And throughout Limassol, you can rent a bike, leave it somewhere else.
Yeah, we helped the rental companies, the first one. Then it was a partner of ours, and we helped in creating this.
And then electric cars, what are you doing with electric cars?
Yeah. We push them, okay? We started 4 years ago. It was a project in Civitas Destination, the project that we did from the European Union. And we started pushing the electrical mobility of the cars.
Mm-hmm.
We sponsor with Electricity Authority the charging stations.
Mm-hmm.
They used to be only 4 or 5 in Limassol, the first one, because the first electric cars started in Limassol.
Mm.
Okay.
People buying them privately, you mean?
Yes.
So when people buy them privately, and we were unfortunately one of the last to give subsidies, I think, to
one
those buying electric cars, unfortunately.
Because we started 4 years ago.
Yeah.
5 years ago.
And but now there are, I mean, I know that just in our hotel, okay, for me, you know me and sustainability, but I think we have 11 or 12 charging stations just here, but we were one of the first and we put them in ourselves.
I agree.
Yeah.
And now we are installing charging stations up to the mountains.
Okay.
The so communities that they have people coming over there.
Mm-hmm.
And this we managed to get it free of charge for a generation of electricity company.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That, of course, will help. We went up to Modos, we went to Platres, Pissouri.
Mm-hmm.
All these villages, which are tourist villages, are helping a lot.
Okay.
So this is what we are doing as far as... And then we introduced for the first time in Cyprus, it is a program from the Ministry of Communication and Works, Transport Minister.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the first contract with them in order to install. They have installed a software in Nicosia, in the ministry, to control all the traffic.
Mm.
All traffic in the sense that you know where to go and what time. So you can see, especially the A30.
You mean with a map, an app?
Oh,
on
you can
your
see
phone.
Them inside the...
Yeah.
You can see them inside our screens. It's our screens.
Okay.
And we gave it to the company, the ML, which is...
Google also does that. I mean, it will tell you the quickest way of getting somewhere.
No. We're talking about the time that the bus arrives and leaves.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so the buses
specifically,
can use that.
Specifically with the...
And the buses are electric, some of them.
30 of the buses, the small ones in town, they are electric.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget that they have around 300 buses.
Mm.
It's not a small company. So around 100 they purchase from China, which are the small ones, 30, 35 seats. And they are electric, yes.
Yeah.
Now, at that
remember
time,
that. I think that's great.
We have in our offices a desk where it was financed by the European Union in order to put in the buses, all the buses that is the line 30, as we call it, from the meridian
up to
You see, this is the habit of remember the old times.
Many people still call us Sheraton, and we've been St. Raphael for nearly 20 years.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I like to call it Sheraton because it's history.
It's history.
Yes, so you cannot avoid that.
Yeah.
All of them have screens inside the buses.
Mm-hmm.
If you take the bus one day to go from here to Marina, you can see the hour screen there. Half of it is saying about the route, information about the route online, okay? And the other half is ours to put any, not advertising, anything we like as far as tourists is concerned. We can advertise the carnival, we can advertise the marathon that we are doing.
Yeah.
And it's starting when I was... chairman in another big event.
Another big event, which is great. And it started off very small and it's really great.
Yes, we started a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now we do the Sandaran.
Mm-hmm.
Sandaran every Christmas. And we have the kids and the tourists. They are so enthusiastic. We bring uniforms from abroad, and it's a very nice run. It's a small run, but it's good. They like that. Now, as far as sustainability, we have our, how we call it, let me see, because probably have it here. Green label. The green label. Green label, we certified up to now around 20 hotels. They have to perform certain criteria. And green label, of course, has to do with disabled people as well. It's not
of
only
course,
green.
And it's, yeah, community.
And we put it, we put a sign on your reception. Okay. And this is a green label award.
Yeah, we're very proud to have it, among other.
Yes. If this is the kind of thing that we do, and many, many, many other things. Now, as far as to support these bicycles, okay, we have done a lot of installations as far as service stations of the bikes. You go to small villages, there's a place there. Usually we put a sign thing that for pictures and things like that, okay? And they have tools, they have to repair the bicycle if they want to, and all these things support. And of course, another thing that we do with bicycles is the fact that we have installed behind the buses hangers.
Yeah,
for so three or four. Can, yes, yeah. This is our
choose, yeah. Yes. Move in between using their bike, using a.
This is the kind of thing that we do.
Which is great. And where do you get your inspiration from? I mean, the ideas come from consultants, from other people, from the team.
We're very, very, sometimes we're very selfish. Okay. And we want to have our own ideas. Because if you don't have ideas in tourism, then you shouldn't work for tourism. That's my idea. Because it's a dream. Tourism, you have to think.
Think outside the box and also be inspired by others. And there's always,
I'm not against the copying of things. If I see something good abroad, then I will copy it, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. So on the subject of sustainability, let's talk about maybe something that's not so positive in Limassol, and that's the graffiti. What are we doing about the graffiti that unfortunately, and I don't mean that as in wall art, because we've got some amazing walls in Cyprus that are just in Limassol that are just stunning and the artists are fantastic. But I mean, literally the vandalism that we see.
There's nothing we can do. It's the same as the noise distortion that you have probably here with bikes and things like that. Is a police job. We push the police all the time, but there is no solution for that.
Education? Education, maybe in schools.
Who's going to do education?
Well, I'm asking you.
It's a beautiful, there is a museum now. I will tell you what we do with art as well, because this goes with art. You said graffiti. Graffiti for me is an art. And of course, it's a means of hiding something which is very bad. Sometimes,
absolutely. Sometimes. That's why I said there's some stunning, stunning pieces
so
in Limassol.
What we did, I'm pro graffiti because I have seen many other towns in Europe that they have beautiful, so and colorful. Because we need,
and it's happy.
You said energy.
Yeah.
Energy comes out of flowers as well, and the colors.
But I mentioned specifically the word vandalism.
There is not only this vandalism. There is vandalism by the government. There is vandalism by the different departments that they delay our permits or you go to the hospital and there are problems. There are a lot of problems. When you have a system like the one that we have and you don't have, you are not committing yourself with offering yourself in some things, then what education would they say? What?
I don't know. Maybe before the children get to the stage of wanting to go out and
We did something. We started something. Because we're jumping from
one subject to the other. That's the nice thing about Hotel Talk.
You see, I could say a few hundreds of things that we have done, but it comes when you say education. Now, what we did, you know, the resort, the casino resort, is one of our big members, and of course we help him a lot with their presentations of Limassol and things like that, because we are offering this kind of services. And when they started and they were about to recruit hundreds of people, they came to us and say, what if we would like to do a training, hands-on training, not with the consultants and the teachers and things like that, because this we cannot do, but we can sort of, and then they said, okay, we produce a plan. Okay. And we said, okay, one day is 2 day seminar. The first day you will learn about what is Limassol, about Limassol. Mm-hmm. We had a very beautiful problem and we offer you lunch at the premises of the chamber. Of course, they could do it in every other hotel if they wanted. We didn't do it in the hotel, but we did it in our premises. And the second day, we have a tourist guide in the bus. We pay for the bus, we pay on this, blah, 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 blah. And then you go out in the countryside to see the places that we have developed as far as tourist information. And they train, we did a training, we did a nice reception and all this time, but they pay everything. The casino paid everything. Mm. We didn't get any money, but we helped them go and see things, and everybody was enthusiastic.
Yeah, it's important. We also do the same training in our hotel to both Cypriots and to staff that come, because even people who've grown up all their life in Cyprus, they might not know. There's some things they don't know, or they haven't seen since school, or they don't know the development.
Yes. But I must tell you that 80% of the people that came to this high-level training or experience, it was foreigners. Mm-hmm. All of them. And you can see them there. So, you know, dressed okay, you know, professional, all these things. And they were very enthusiastic. Mm. And then the casino came to us and says, listen, I want to offer something to Limassol. And I would like to expand this to all the hotels, because the hotels will be my clients in the casino, not in the accommodation. Mm-hmm. Because if somebody comes over here, an Israeli, and says, listen, to a reception, do you have a casino? Yeah. And you say yes, then you will send him. So you are an indirect partner. And they said, okay. I said, okay, think about it and come back and tell us what kind of things that we can do. And we go all over the hotels, and say, this is offering this training, this experience, with one day in the countryside with the bus, okay? And tell us if you have people that are interested to come. And of course, we can pick up three from St. Raphael, three or six from Muskis hotels, and whatever. So we can form a group, and then depending on availability of the people, we can form another one. And that was a very nice thing, because I believe very much in cooperation. Mm-hmm. Tourism is not a case that is supported only by one partner.
Absolutely.
And this is what we're trying to...
Yeah, well, that's what I'm trying to do here with this podcast as well, show that we're all working together. Everybody has something to offer, and collectively we can
everybody works
make a difference. Yeah.
For their competitor in quotes.
Yeah.
You have a nice restaurant. Okay. You have this, you have that. And we can do a lot of things.
Absolutely. I
mean, now, when we manage to put everything together, all your marketing and sales people, we can do other projects as well.
We discussed that quite a lot with Savas Badios when he was on this podcast. It was a very nice episode.
Yes.
So what improvements are you hoping to see in Limassol in the next 5 years?
First of all, we have to see the transport problem. Mm-hmm. That's the first one that...
Transport and traffic, you mean, or...
Transport and traffic, yes. Transport, now we are involved, because I do a lot of lobbying, because I know everybody. Mm-hmm. Now we have a new chairman of the mountain villages. Mm-hmm. is a post that has been created before, and he deals only for the communities. But most of the work, as far as tourism is concerned, we do it. So he is a close partner. And we are trying to make a station in Saitas, you know, the junction there, in order to generate a connection of all the buses to go all over the places, including the students that they go to Omodos and learn about wine and things like that. You know, there are 15 students in Omodos that they doing for the wine or the and it is a secondary school. It's not a university. So we make a nice station like we did the vessels, passengers vessel that we're trying to move next to marina and find a place in order for the tourists when they come down, and they come in thousands, okay, then they can stop there. All the buses is very difficult. They don't go to the center of Limassol. So these are the kind of things that we would like to see. And of course, we want to see to generate, besides the teamwork, which is a very nice thing, and you learn it only by experience, because when we talk to them, you know, Maria is a very nice presentator. You know, she likes a presentation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Seriously, I know.
All the hotels, when I tried 3-4 times to put all the hotels together without getting involved in the associations, either PASIXE or STEC, which are my members. Okay, but they don't do nothing. They want somebody to group them. And then we said that when they came back, I said to Maria, invite everybody. We went to Churchill, again, old name, but we went to Churchill there. Mr. Pieridis offered us a room, and we sat there. I said, okay, you went to this excursion, went to London and to Manchester. Now we're going to two other, Leeds and another town, I think. And, okay, tell me your complaints, first of all. How was it? Was it okay? It was no complaints. Everybody was enthusiastic. Okay, they say, this is the kind of thing that we would like to do. This is very nice. And this is presents Limassol as well, you know?
Mm.
So it was a nice thing because you're learning only by experience. You cannot learn everything in theory.
Mm.
And this is the kind of thing that we have to see what we are doing next. This is the idea.
Do you have, I mean, I know that you've got lots of plans. You just said now you had a few years ago, 13 aims that you wanted to achieve.
Now it's decorative. First of all, it's decorative.
Mm.
Like the graffiti that you say, decorative things to tie up Limassol. Limassol is a very upside down town. Okay? And it is dirty between me and you. It is dirty. It's one of our fights with the municipality because they don't clean it up. Now you are becoming to the new US hotel. You are in Birgos, Parekliša, where are you?
We're actually a little bit in both. So we're technically Birgos, the main building, but where we're sitting now is technically in Parekliša. So the road divided, and then we moved the road. Yes, so we're Birgos, but we have some of our property is Parekliša.
Parekliša and Birgos will be to the same group now.
Yeah.
Because I know everybody how we do, and of course, this graffiti. Let me explain a bit about graffiti. Graffiti is an amazing thing, provided that you do it good. Limassol is a high... It's a high-level quality destination. We have to keep it like that. As you know, we have 15.5 or something of the tourists, and Paphos and Ayannapa have 30%. We don't want quality, quantity. We want quality. We want to maintain our status here and improve our profits. You have to improve your profits if you stay nice and still, okay, there, part of a big team that does a lot of other things. We have managed to acquire up to Lanya. Have you been to Lanya? Okay. If you go there, go and see the house of the artist.
Okay.
We transform it to the House of Artists. It used to be a police station, and now it can accommodate 4 artists free of charge. They pay only 10 euros per night just for their expenses to cleaning and things like that. And the community there, because we did a lot of things for them, they gave the management to us. So what I'm thinking in the near future is to find out about the graffiti artists in Europe. We have to bring somebody that is a name. We have to pay, okay? And we have to accommodate them in this nice place for him to stay free of charge. And why I'm saying this is because we can attract even local artists and things like this in order to promote this culture. Not only the artists, but many other things.
Mm.
You go to Lange and they have on the walls something, a way that it shows the traditional life. It shows the traditional works, all these things, okay? So we have to, we will bring in artists very soon. Of course, we can accommodate them in various hotels that give us the rooms, it's not a problem, and do something here. But I want them to go up to the mountains to inspire themselves and see the culture, because the culture is a tradition, first of all. And then we are very, very keen of doing this kind of thing. The second place that we have acquired is another police station in Bisuri. When you go there, it's a culture place up to the road. There, we're making the house of the Halloumi.
Okay.
And the diaries, Mary Meliale diaries. Yeah. Dairies. So we sort of doing a lot of presentations there about who is doing the Halloumi, is it Anari, and other products. There are many because it is the area of the dairies. All over there, up to Pakhna, is the area. So this is something that we do. And of course, the graffiti started when to Platters you have been, yes?
You of
go
course.
To Quilada, you go to Quilada. It's a new restaurant owned by 2 youngsters there.
I haven't been to that one, no.
You know, the when they have the Roxanne's water running there. And there is a path going down to go to the center of the village. And there is a big wall, very big wall. And I said, now it was the president of the community there, Panayotis. And I said, Panayotis, I very much like to do something here, graffiti to hide all this mess because it's not nice. Because you can do graffiti on ready-made walls or you can make the wall and then make the graffiti. So it's very important. This and it's very easy because it's very quick as well.
Yeah, they do it quickly. We hired a local artist to do one of our restaurants, Splash, and did a fantastic job. But yeah, a few days, they can do it. Very talented. Amazing. So we just had Limassol Carnival. Tell the listeners a little bit about Limassol Carnival, because we're quite proud, aren't we, of our carnival in Limassol.
Yes, for many years we had some ideas about the Cyprus Carnival because it's getting out of the way lately and we have to be very sure that is the right product. I don't believe that Carnival is the right product. It needs a lot of improvements. First of all, no kids in the Carnival parade. The kids can go the previous Sunday. And of course this has the risks of hitting some kids.
We also with us, the children go in the first parade. It's for them. It's calmer. Right. It's better.
So we need to.
The second one is too much for the children. I think. Yeah, it's dangerous.
5 hours. Yeah. If you are at the end of the queue.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't finish until 6 or 7, so
which is
crazy.
Not nice. It has to be shorter, but you know all these. People in the municipality, they love and they live for Carnival. And this is what I hate with us Cypriots. You don't live for something only. You live for everything. And if they make these kind of improvements, of course, they have to do some comics ideas. Before, when we were kids and we were to the carnival, we used to have mostly Mavroyanis, which is the guy that makes all the figures, okay? Mostly, it was about it was humoristic.
Yeah, it was satire, wasn't it? A lot of the politicians, of famous people, actors, of, yeah, it was fun. Yeah.
So, yes, it needs improvement. And of course, I cannot understand why we cannot go somewhere. And of course, when you hear the mayor to say, this is the best carnival in the world.
Well, second to Rio, we've got to be proud of that. But I know what you mean with organization. But it is a lot of fun and it's at the right time of year. It's 10 days. And I think people get fixated on that last Saturday. But the whole carnival period is a time that really Limassol should have a lot of people coming, a lot of parties, yes, a lot of fun.
Yeah. At that time, it was parties in houses.
Yeah.
20 people, they used to go there. Okay, this is a different thing.
Mm.
Definitely, everything is good until the time that comes to say, improve it.
Mm-hmm.
You have a new hotel, it's fantastic. After 20 years, it's not a new hotel.
It's not a new hotel anymore, you've got to improve it.
Yes.
So, what is your favorite quote?
My favorite quotes?
Quote, yeah, or saying, or something that inspires you, or something somebody's told you. Could be a Cypriot saying that you like, or something your mother used to tell you. A favorite saying.
First of all, my favorite, there is a book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which has Mr. Ksyudas is in Greek, and it has all the sayings throughout the years.
Yeah.
There are very, very, very wise things. Every single one of them is a different one. So what I would say is that I like to live with the old type of thinking. When I say shake hands, it means we have an agreement.
Mm.
Now you sign contract, things like that, and after that you go to the even with the signs or whatever. The old culture of the people. My grandfather was
honorable.
Shaking her.
Mm-hmm.
Honorable. When they say they don't lie, I hate people lying. Which is, I like to do whenever I do all my deals, I say, okay, we sign. Most of my clients, they have my word and finish. But when you maintain this kind of long term, it means that you have better business, because for me, I'm a businessman. I started my business very, very young, 24 years old. I had a chance to be the first one in Cyprus, writing software and selling computers and things like that. We had the golden age, as we say it. But I created all my wealth, experience, and money, because wealth is not only money.
No, absolutely. Okay?
It's experience and a lot of friends because of my right way of performing. So this is my most important thing. And I don't know anything else. I don't.
I love that.
Yes.
Thank you for sharing, because it's so true. And
yes, my mother used to be a teacher, and she said to me, "Never lie, never steal, and never be appreciated of what somebody is offering to you. It's the worst."
Be ungrateful. You mean never? Yeah, never take it for granted.
Okay. Yeah. In Cyprus, all the people lie. They probably steal, they are not thieves, but they steal many things, okay, indirectly. And they are all ungrateful, especially the politicians, because I went in politics and I know how they did. So
it goes against all your principles.
Principles, only principles.
So, crystal ball here, you can choose a random question from one of our our team members. So Victoria said this. What is the most challenging aspect of your job?
Success. That's the most success.
Most challenging aspect?
An approval. Yes.
What do you mean approval?
Appreciated by people, your customers, things, appreciation.
Yeah.
Appreciation. You go to a restaurant and you hear people, and I like talking to, you know, my mother, when it was an altar, from as they say, you talk in plural. You don't talk, So this is appreciation and respect. This is the kind of things that somebody should have. And you can watch, when we have a lot of interviews, you can watch the youngest when they come, if they have a right education from the family, mainly the mothers.
But is that the most challenging thing in your job and what you experience? Like, what's the most challenging part of being the chairman of the Limassol Tourism Board?
First of all, you must know that I had two lives. One is a businessman and an investor.
Mm.
And the other one, it was offering to the public.
Public services, yeah.
Yes. And of course, I was in many organizations, as I said, Green Dot. I was a niche door.
Mm-hmm.
In Green Dot.
Amazing. Okay.
So for me, it's knowledge, because I would like, the challenge is to know, if possible, everything, which is impossible.
Mm.
Okay? I learn a lot. I read a lot. I listen a lot. I watch news and things like, I want to know what is happening. I read laws coming out from the parliament.
Mm-hmm.
It's my hobby to read everything, to know the legislation. And things like that. Then I never stop. The idea is never stop.
Never stop.
You have to be active all the time. Okay? That's why I'm still working.
I love it. Thank you so much, Tony.
Thank you.
I think that's a great note to end it on. And everybody, come see Limassol and come and see everything we're doing here. It's amazing. So,
yes. Yeah,
I'm excited for everything we've done and everything to
come. That's what they're saying. Why do you want? I go to the... with the minister, we have a committee set up by the minister, the Council of Ministers, just to advise the private sector, advises the minister, the deputy minister, and they all there say, oh, what is beautiful Limassol. You can see their faces, though. If it's Nicosian people, it's because they are jealous. If it's the Paphos people, they are very frank. The Larnaca people are very nice people, are polite, they are rather indifferent. And this is the kind of thing that we, but it's very important, and the experience is very nice if the appreciation comes from people that can understand it.
Yeah.
Okay? And I will tell you a small incident, okay? And we close, because we can talk for hours.
I know, it's such an interesting conversation always.
When I was appointed by the President Anastasiadis, which is my best man, okay, and to save Cyprus Airways, it was a very hard thing. He told me that, I give you the Cyprus Airways, and you can do whatever you like. If you like, close it or maintain it, which was impossible to maintain because there was a lot of things, but I maintained it for 2 years anyway. And I said to him, listen, if I will take this post, okay, I will not close it. I'm a businessman. I have a reputation. It's a big challenge. I will leave it open. And he smiled. I mean, he said, this is impossible. You cannot do it. I said, okay, sit back and watch. Okay, that was a challenge. And for people that would like to, are doers, okay, because my name in Limassol is Tony the Doer, because whatever I say, I do it. Mm-hmm. Very, very important, is the fact that when they saw that everything was going well, they wouldn't believe it. So my very, very first problem, they came, the leasing company of the planes. We used to have 9 planes. And of course, we own only one. And the other 8 were with the same leasing company, which was concerned about closing. And if you close, you know, it's very, very difficult to get back the planes and things like that. And they were very concerned. So they came from the States And they said to me, we were in the meeting in 1 week after I was appointed. And I said, they told me one was Irish and the other one was American. Because in the airlines, 99% are foreigners. They're not Air France. They are all from other countries.
Mm-hmm.
Abu Dhabi, the big company, everywhere you buy the best heads.
Mm.
This is the idea. So I said to him, listen, what do you believe? It would be close the company or you will keep it? I said, I wish I could keep it because this is a national carrier. We don't have any other way to move. If there is a war, we cannot move. And we are in the European. It was a various things that you can claim your case. So he said to me, yeah, but what do you believe? Why you believe you will leave it alive? I said, because I say so. I promise it to myself and I promise it to the President of the Republic of Cyprus. Why you believe that? Because I'm a patriot. Okay? I was in the war with the Turks and I'm a fighter. And I will do it because I'm a doer. He said to me, I still don't understand because I want to see papers. Okay. Where do you come from, you said? He told me at the beginning. Irish. Okay, when you are fighting the English, you believe that you will win or you knew that you will lose? Yes, we believe that we win. The same to me. You are a patriot, I'm a patriot. Okay, and I tell you, and you have to trust me because I believe so. And he said to me, okay, let's find a way to give you some more time. So he gave me 3 months. I said, okay, I will send you, I will tell you what. I will give you all the reports monthly of how our economic situation is. And every month I was sending to him and he was returning to me, congratulations, I want you to do that. So I made him believe that we can save it.
And yeah, unfortunately, we didn't manage, but okay, at least the name is still there now.
Yeah, but the name is already in 2 years' time. They had to give it back to the government.
Mm.
It's only for 10 years. And then one day after 6 months, when they say that it was going very well, because I did things very, very quickly, they called me and they said the manager, the CEO of the leasing company is next to Cyprus in Egypt, and he wants to come and meet you. With pleasure, I said. So he came to my office and I said, Mr. Antonio, I very much like to meet you because you are the only manager of an airline that did that impressive route. He gave me the congratulations. And then he left. We have a coffee and he left.
Oh, nice.
So this is the challenge.
Mm. Definitely.
Especially when it's a challenge without the motive of money.
Genuine passion. Tony, thank you so much. Everyone, I hope you've enjoyed listening to this. And don't forget to like and share the podcast. Take care. We hope that you're enjoying Hotel Talk. And I'd like to remind you guys, please, to click that subscribe button. It helps us more than you may realize. And any likes or comments that you can give us on any platform would be highly appreciated because it helps us get heard and more exposure. Don't forget to hop along to St. Raphael Resorts and Marina's website. Join us on our journey with our Seahorse Club, where you can get exclusive offers and so much more. Or you can email our team directly, quoting Hotel Talk, to receive an exclusive discount on your next stay with us in Limassol, Cyprus. We'll see you all soon, and feedback is more than welcome. Thank you for being part of this journey.